Let's talk about our democracy for a minute. But let's do it in a way that makes the snowflakes' heads explode. Let me be clear before this podcast begins. We are loud,
proud,
and do not give a fuck. This is the Tony Michaels Podcast. Real and raw political and social commentary. The freedom to oppress the rights of other people is not liberty, you shit-eating moron. Ah, the smell of freedom of speech. This is the Tony Michaels Podcast, and this is Tony Michaels. Hey, Tony, fuck 'em.
How far can Henry Kissinger fuck off? I don't know how far someone who's 1,000 years old can fuck off, but to me, it would be all the way, he can fuck off. I guess it's not surprising that a Putin lover like Henry Kissinger would say, "Oh, Ukraine, that sovereign nation, that democracy needs to give away part of their land to the murderous dictator. Because he is one." What? I didn't even know that motherfucker was still alive. Who? Honestly, I thought he was taking a dirt nap. I mean, you know, sounds about time for one. But really, honestly, I every time he said something, or someone says he said something, it's like, that mother, he's still alive? How old is that motherfucker? Apparently he's 99 years old. It seems like he's 1,000, though. Like, he was 99 years old in the 1980s. The other thing is the doctor thing. The doctor thing. Doctor Henry Kissinger. Oh, Ricky Gervais is in the news for making offhanded jokes about trans folks. You know what's weird? What's going to be really strange about this Ricky Gervais thing is all these right-wing Christians who are claiming the only thing that matters is their religion. Only their religion. Like, they're willing to take away people's liberty, women's liberty, because they believe when a guy ejaculates, or even thinks about, even gets a boner, if a guy gets a boner, that's a human being. That's a baby. That is a baby. Religion is so important, but I damn well bet, that you're going to see a lot of horrible takes from the right about how great Ricky Gervais is. As you guys know, Ricky Gervais is very, very, very famous as a comedian for being an atheist. Outspoken atheist. And they're going to be like, "Oh, Ricky Gervais is the best ever in the history of ever, ever." Which, I mean, really, honestly, when we take a look at some of the jokes that Ricky Gervais actually told, I went and tried to watch the clip to see some of the offhanded jokes that he was making. And Ricky Gervais is making us talk about what you should and should not say about another human being. That's the conversation that we're having. Now, I don't think that that was Ricky Gervais's his aim here. I don't think he had this grand scheme to make offhanded jokes about a marginalized group of people, so that way the world would have a conversation. I do not think that's the case. Now, it is happening right now because Ricky Gervais is trending. Trans is trending. And the world is having this conversation along with State Farm. We see State Farm. They announced that they were going to support LGBTQ books in schools. And the right wing lost their fucking minds because of God and religion. And they love to use the word groomer. lost their fucking minds. And State Farm's like, oh, yeah, we don't. Yeah, oh, gay people? We don't like gay people. We forget about that. Forget about that. I guess Jake from State Farm. You guys remember the Jake from State Farm commercial, right? What's her name? Jake. You remember? The Jake from State Farm khaki commercial? A lot of people bought State Farm. I've never been insured by State Farm. Several others that are like State Farm, but not State Farm specifically. Not because, you know, I'm some kind of woke justice warrior. I just never did business with State Farm. They were always more expensive. Pretty simple. They always had to have a gimmick like Jake from State Farm. But it looks like State Farm continues their gimmick when they pretend to support the LGBTQ community by saying, yeah, we support books in schools that show LGBTQ community in books. The religious right are like, oh, we are very insecure about our sexuality and we cannot make sure that people know that I might be gay. That's literally the fucking ploy here from the right wing. When they say groomer, they mean they're the groomers. Literally, there's dozens of cases already this year where elected Republican officials have been arrested for either child porn or underage prostitution, rape, incest, molestation. Jesus fucking Christ, that guy that Donald Trump endorsed in the Nebraska governor's race was accused of groping. He didn't drop out. Donald Trump's like, oh, well, I support him. He's a fellow pussy grabber, though. And they're worried about State Farm acting like they're allies in the LGBTQ community. And I say acting like because it's obvious they were acting. They were pretending. Pretending to be an ally. That's what State Farm did. That's why you shouldn't always buy into this or that. It's like this Disney shit that they keep going on and on and on about. Well, Disney's no fucking hero here in the Don't Say Gay bill. They were in support of it before they were against it. And their employees had to tell them to go fuck off and not support it. They were going to strike. Until the CEO came to his senses when his employees said, no, you fuck, you need to be against this thing. This woke stuff, this woke shit that they keep talking about, how everyone's woke. You're woke. I'm super woke. It's all to distract us from what is really happening. To call us woke or you get paid by George Soros. You're a Soros. Whatever the fuck they say. I don't know. I've been accused of being paid by Soros. I haven't got my fucking George Soros check yet. Not a goddamn dime from that motherfucker. Him or Bill Gates. Speaking of Bill Gates, Elon Musk apparently believes everything that's written in the in the gossip rag, the fake news that is Breitbart. Believes it, hook, line, sinker, especially when they write about Bill Gates. He falls for it. That's our title today. Gullible Elon falls for Breitbart. Look, I can't help it. When I get a chance to fucking dump on Elon, that's probably what we're going to do here. Take a big, huge tour shit. Right on Elon. Good morning, everybody. It is a Tuesday morning, a beautiful Tuesday morning, because we have you here live every single weekday, Monday through Friday, noon Eastern, 11 Central, 9 Pacific, Holy moly, look at the listeners today. Amanda, hello. Christina, Megan's here. Kinky Streets. I like that. I like to be able to say that username. Kathy is here. Mayo, good morning. Stephanie is here. Debbie from Salt Lake. Nancy is here. Forrest, Matt, Midas, Robin, Ron, MJ, good morning. Megan's here. Shelly, Margie, Deborah from Facebook is here. Boy, we just have a ton of new listeners. To give you an idea what this show's about, we go through the politics every single weekday on Monday through Friday for 2 full hours live on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and we simulcast from the Midas Touch Facebook page. We are proud partners of Midas Touch. Shout out to all the Midas Mighty out there. So here's the deal. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube and type in The Tony Michaels. If you're on Facebook, that link is right there at the post. Just go ahead and click on that link and subscribe. You are not going to want to miss a thing. We're going to talk about today for a bit with Gabe Sanchez, my co-host and executive producer, a little bit about the public hearings that are coming up. Hint, hint, folks, there's a preliminary schedule that has dropped. It looks like instead of 8 hearings, they're going to have 6. There's going to be 2 in prime time and 4 in the morning. Morning time. And we are going to cover every single one of them, all 6. Hopefully the schedule stays pretty solid here. And we're also going to try to, get more folks in for commentary during those days, during the hearings. Some people are saying the super chat is not working. Yeah, I don't know what happened with YouTube. I'm going to have to fix that when we get off the air. I noticed it right before we came on, but we will get that fixed today. So tomorrow we'll come back tomorrow in the super chat and we'll have that. But here's the thing. We are going to get those hearings out to as big an audience as we can live streaming. And make sure that we have commentary. Me and Gabe will be commentating. We're going to have some other folks commentating. Probably Karen Ignipolo, KFA, and Michael Popak from Legal AF. Hopefully we'll get the Mizellus brothers from Midas Touch on here during that live stream. We'll probably have some other guests to announce as we get closer and closer to those hearings, as we know more about the schedule. But what it looks like right now is there's 6 hearings. 2 prime time, 4 of them in the morning. But it appears that they'll kind of overlap with the show. So we'll probably just do the hearings and that will be the show. We will continue on until what is regularly the show's end. And those will become the episodes for those days because it's just 2 of those days during the showtime period. That's what I'm thinking so far. But we definitely need you guys to hear or listen and help get the word out about these hearings, because the more people that see these hearings, I believe the better. I believe the better. So we stay tuned to that. We're going to talk about that a little bit more today. But boy, do we have a lot of news to get to today. There is a lot of stuff in the news. Rachel Maddow did a piece on the insurrectionist. You've seen this guy, the guy that gave the tour of the Capitol. We also, of course, we have Ricky Gervais and Kissinger in the news. Alec Baldwin is in the news. I guess I don't know why he's trending with tech data. NOAA is trending. NOAA. It's the weather service that predicts hurricanes. They're predicting a very, very bad hurricane season again. I guess the 7th in a row. You know, State Farm is trending. Mo Brooks is trending because today's primaries. Today is primary day, folks. Are you voting? Are you in a state that can vote? I'm going to talk about the Georgia race. And I'm going to talk about Republican self-suppression. This is beautiful. This is how we need to draw wedges. I'm going to show you this morning why the Republicans are going to lose and how we can get them to lose. That's right, folks. That's why voter suppression happens on both sides. And, you know, a little bit of encouragement can go a long way to destroy fascism. So maybe that's what we should do. That's what we should do with our messaging. Yeah. And they do it with their own messaging. I'll show you what I mean. here in just a few minutes. Kellyanne Conway is trending. Navalny is trending. Of course, I think Navalny's probably trending because Henry Kissinger said, oh, well, you know what Ukraine should do? They should just give up part of their sovereign country to Vladimir Putin. They should just give it up. Just give it up. Hell with it. Fuck it. Just give it to him. Because he'll definitely go away after they give up territory. You know, like the Crimea. Yeah, you just give up territory and then he'll just go away. He'll stop committing war crimes if you just give him what he wants. Fuck him. Fuck Putin and fuck Henry Kissinger. Fuck him. That guy needs to take a nap. Maybe a long, long, long dirt nap. Let's get to the tweety tweets and the trendy trends. Let's start the countdown. Show the Tony Michaels podcast. We have reached the part of the show that is called the shit list roundup, where we round up all the tweety tweets and the trendy trends of today. Boy, do we have some stuff for you. Looky here. We have, I want to show you this before we get into a lot of the news. I want to show you this. If I can make my thing, there we go. Hey, well, looky who we have here. Gabe Sanchez. Good morning, Gabe.
Good morning, Tony.
Have you seen the trendy trends yet? Have you seen all the stuff that's trending? It's kind of all over the place this morning.
It is quite a sight.
It is. It's getting. Have you seen this tweet that I sent out about Candace Taylor? Candace Taylor is the crazy kook. She's the one that wants God to gun down babies. Have you seen her campaign ads?
Is that the guns babies?
No, God guns
babies. God's guns babies. Yes, yeah. Right.
Pew, pew,
right.
Pew, pew.
Yeah, those are the three magic words
right.
To I don't any know. Winning campaign.
Right. God's guns babies. But it sounds like, because she didn't put like periods or anything. Nope, she just like crams these words together. She's like, God's just guns
one,
babies.
One, two, three, you know?
God guns babies down. Because
there was a
they
moment.
Ain't got no formula. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
There was a moment... mm-hmm. Where she took where her campaign bus like made its debut, right? And everyone was like, you know, what would the name God's Guns Babies be for, right? And it'd be like, oh, it was a country band or a song. It was like like it was just like all the wrong answers. But yeah, it's one of those it's a great slogan.
Oh, you know, she's got some doozies. Team. She's got some doozies. Like this, there is no turds nuttier than this squirrel turd here. Because I'm gonna go back and show some video of this wackadoo. But this morning she tweets this. This mm-hmm. is at 8:46 a.m. This is Central Time, so it's 9:46 in Georgia where she's running for governor.
Right.
Here's what she says: major issues in counties all over the state. So she's.
She's they're already putting it out
seed
there. Yeah, yeah.
A voter fraud.
Yeah.
Scanners. Listen to scanners won't work. My phone is blowing up. And then, of course, she gives a
remembers Romans 8:28.
Right. And 8:28 apparently.
Silly. It's 8:46 a.m., you dumb dumb.
And what does Rome have to do with this?
Yeah, right. It's like, what yeah, Rome did fall.
Right.
Maybe she's saying. The scanners won't work. The election is rigged. Democracy will fall just like the Romans did at 8:28 a.m. Or maybe she says p.m.
Maybe it's p.m. It has
p.m. because that's when the polls close.
Right.
So Candace Taylor prediction, the election for Georgia will fall with democracy just like the Romans at 8:28 p.m. Georgia time.
Q. Yeah, you got to put a Q.
Oh,
on.
Q, right. Q.
Q. This lady is definitely a wackadoo. She says mm-hmm. some crazy ass shit. I mean, just absolute bonkers type shit. She actually said shit over the weekend about natives and indigenous people. Like, yeah, we came over here and killed them. And
Yay.
And that was that we
that
did
was a
that.
Video, wasn't it?
Yeah. I'm going to try to see if we can find that. But this tweet here is really sowing doubt about the election. And it's not like it's good for her. Right. This isn't good for Republicans. I'm going to say her tweet sucks because it definitely sucks.
Let's just get that out of the way right now.
Right. Let's just say that. Yeah, that tweet sucks. Here's why it sucks, folks. A politician who is running never wants to stifle the vote in their party's primary. Like, why would you say, hey, don't go vote? There's no reason to bother. The scanners aren't even working. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, she knows she's going to lose, right? She's going to lose this race. No, but again,
this is very much out of the Trump playbook. You sow doubt. You say, hey, this thing is in question. People then say, hey, they cause an issue, right? They kind of, I don't know, maybe they cause a little bit of a riot at local, polling places where they say the scanner's not working, even though it literally is. And they're like, sir, you just have to turn it this way as it's directed. Or someone's like, ma'am, this is a Wendy's. We don't take actual ballots here.
This is not a polling location.
Right, exactly. So I wouldn't be surprised if somebody shows up causing a ruckus, they have not even voted yet, or maybe they have voted and they went to another location to try and vote because that's very much the Republican way, as we've just learned in Michigan. Even more voter fraud, of course, from the Republican Party.
Right. Well, I don't want to say this too far out loud, because this is a good sign that they're already willing to torch their primary races with this election fraud. And we should not discourage this. You know, everyone always talks about suppression. The Republicans suppress the vote. They're self-suppressing here is what they're doing. And when your political enemy, when the fascists are digging their grave, you do not take the shovel out of their hands.
Yeah.
You let them dig that. In fact, you might just give them like a backhoe. Like, here you go. Here's a backhoe. Dig that political grave. Because I believe what Candace Taylor might be doing here, because you got to remember, she's in the governor's race, right?
Right.
So the governor's race is probably going to be Brian Kemp, which means that Trump is going to lose because he lost out on endorsing this nutbag. And David Perdue, the one who he did endorse, is going to lose to the incumbent, Brian Kemp, who Trump hates because Kemp wouldn't actually just declare him the winner of the Georgia 2020 election, the presidential election, which Brian Kemp does not have the authority to do. But anyways, Stacey Abrams is going to be running against whoever the Republican nominee is.
Right.
Now, if Candace Taylor, this wackadoo, starts running all over the state and can raise money from her Marjorie Taylor Greene type supporters and go all over the state sowing doubt, not with Democrats, right? Not with reasonable voters. But we're talking about the loonies of the loonies of the loonies. Because if you remember in Georgia, just a few years ago, there was a runoff election that both Republicans were supposed to win. And Donald Trump went to that state and said, it's rigged, it's rigged, it's rigged. No matter what you do, the Democrats are going to win. And what happened? What happened? Both Democrats won that runoff race that they really weren't supposed to win. If you go back and you look at the general election numbers, they weren't supposed to win that race. But boy, did Stacey Abrams get out there and work hard on that race. And boy, did the voters come to the polls, because we knew the stakes. We knew the stakes if those two races went south. Mitch McConnell would be the majority leader in the Senate, which would have stalled any kind of work and any kind of progress in this country.
But also, I think the biggest point is, boy, did we need those seats.
Right.
Like, what we have accomplished with a split 50-50, if we did not have that, I think we'd be, you know.
Well, that's a good point, but also we're not exactly a 50-50. Hal Sparks likes to bring this up. I know we have Sparklers, Hal Sparks fans that come watch our show. So shout out to Hal here. Hal actually says he kind of frames it up as it's a 48-52 with a tiebreaker, because two of the Democrats, quote unquote,
right,
caucus that with the Democrats are independents. We have Angus King and we have Bernie Sanders. They're not Democrats. They caucus with the Democrats.
Right.
They caucus to form that majority that we have with Kamala Harris as the tiebreaker vote.
Mm-hmm.
So we're barely there in the first place, right?
Right.
That's why Pennsylvania is so important. Ohio is so important. This race in Florida is so important. And Ron DeSantis is doing everything he can to make sure that that race in Florida does not go south on him. He definitely does not want a Democratic senator, because then he'll have to actually go to a Democratic senator to maybe get some things from Washington. Mm-hmm. I don't know when this hurricane season starts, because apparent to Noah this morning, it is going to be something.
And of course, we'll have Ron DeSantis and others saying, you know, thoughts and prayers, but mostly that government money. Am I right? You guys want to send that help down here?
Well,
you know,
I mean,
which is the same effect of what happened in Texas, which you had, Greg Abbott, Ted Cruz saying, hey, actually, why should we help New Jersey and New York after these, the hurricane season? And then within months, you know, I think, or maybe about a year or so, the next hurricane that comes through Texas, they're like, oh, please, 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 please give us money. And it's like, do you not understand the complete flip-flop, the hypocrisy of not wanting to aid another state who goes through a natural disaster? And then as soon as it hits your front yard, that you're like, we actually need your help, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, Ron DeSantis has done the same thing with the stimulus, or the COVID stimulus money.
Right.
Oh, he was against it. It's socialism. And he runs around the state giving out big ass checks like he's at some kind of golf tournament. And like, he's like, I did this. It was me that gave you this money.
Right. Right. I mean, the infrastructure as well. He's like, you know, I don't support these bills. I don't support this. And then as soon as any funding that comes to the general United States, and there's obviously stuff that is allocated to Florida, he goes, look at what I did.
Right.
Even though the Republican Party has been very much against any sort of aid that would just help the foundation of the country. They say, no,
you can't help Americans. You can't help Americans. That is not the GQP way. You definitely have to shit all over Americans.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's definitely what you have to do.
Smear it and then ask for the same thing.
Right. And the reason why is because the founding fathers, you know, they wanted this. And we're going to see this from this candidate, Candace Taylor here. This is a video that Patriot Takes put out on Twitter. Is this the one where she's talking about? Yes. Mm-hmm. So Patriot Takes says here, Georgia Republican gubernatorial candidate Candace Taylor said, our founding fathers came to destroy American Indians' homes and their land to secure our right to worship Jesus freely. So she actually uses Jesus's name as a justification for genocide of indigenous people in this country.
What I want to know, though, is like, when you use the term founding fathers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is she talking about like the people who were involved in writing the Constitution and like those founding fathers? Because if that's the case, it's like, look, there was a bit of time before these founding fathers ever born. So it's like, I guess before that sperm hit that egg, they already had that thought in their mind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
Well, Gabe, listen, the secular founding fathers were definitely Christian and definitely wanted this to be a Christian nation.
Right.
So they get history all turned around. Puritans. They see the Puritans as like, oh, they're the founding fathers. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Puritans were
dead and gone long before we either had the Constitution.
They're like, listen, we're leaving this royal family and the religious background that they have because we want to get away to do it to another. I mean, essentially,
the other thing too is they want to come over. You know, the Puritans came over like, we're going to have us some George Washingtons and Thomas Jeffersons one of these days.
They're like, and I'm going to have a kid who's going to be the president. But when he's a kid, he's going to chop down that cherry tree.
That's right.
But then he can't tell a lie.
Right. Exactly. Because that's all true. All of it that you just said. That's all real history. Let's listen to Candace Taylor educate us on why maybe we actually should have CRT. I don't know.
The First Amendment right, which is a right to worship Jesus freely.
See, look at this. I wasn't prepared. My sound is all
come on. I send you the video, and you're jumping in the middle of the video. Now people who are watching are like, I don't know what the context is. Where am I in the video?
Yes. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
The First Amendment right, which is our right to worship Jesus freely. That's why we have a country. That's why we have Georgia. That's why we had our founding fathers come over here and destroy American Indians' homes and their land. They took it. Look at what they went through, Native Americans, for sacrifice, for us to have the freedom we have today.
What the fuck is she talking? Okay, so she's saying, thank God we committed genocide on indigenous people. That right. way we can worship our God. She's like, fuck their God. Fuck
well,
their
she
religion.
She said American Indians. So it's like even before anyone from India came to America and had a family and was like, oh, I'm an American Indian, right? She has that group. And then right. she brings in Native Indians, right? Which is like, look, this indigenous people were here before you. That is clearly not what the founding fathers want. But the fact they're using religious text or just like that religious kind of facade as an excuse of like, genocide's cool because our founding fathers
won. Woo! Yeah. The white dudes killed indigenous people so we could have us some Jesus, and Jesus is okay with it.
Right. And which is again, I think I said it last week where I was talking about like Old Testament, New Testament, or maybe it was the week before, I forget, because time right now has no meaning, and the past is the present, and the present is the future. I don't know what's going on. But what I remember saying on the show was that these Christians, remember, Christianity was created, you know, from Jesus, right? You follow Christ, you are a Christian. Now, before Christ, right, we're talking Old Testament stuff. You've got this omnipotent God, right? He's like, I'm all powerful. I don't give you any second chances. I smote you at the fucking second that you doubt my presence and my power. Now, all these Christians reference Old Testament God.
Wait, Christians.
Which is like,
let's Christians.
Christians. Right. Because the way that I think about this is like this. Old Testament God was like God who didn't have a kid, right? Because essentially that's true, right? He didn't have a kid. So he was like wild and fucking partying and doing whatever he wanted, debauchery. He's like, yeah, I'm fucking torching that shit. I'm making that shit. I'm throwing these bottles wherever I want. No discretion for anything. And then the New Testament comes along and he has a kid. He's like, oh shit, man, I got to grow up. And I've got a child that I just inseminated into this woman spiritually. I have to really think about the choices and decisions I make for the world that I brought my child into. Right. And now he's a little
bit more
careful.
Back up. Are you saying it's a spirit rape? Because that's kind of what you said.
It is. Okay. Because Joseph, when he was like 30 something, Mary was like 12. And it was like, he was like, listen, I didn't touch that girl. I did not touch that girl.
Are you saying that Joseph is a God cuck? Is that what you're saying?
I think he is very much a God cuck.
Okay.
But in this world, Christians love to quote or use Old Testament God, the one who was fucking thrashing the place and trashing hotel rooms and all that stuff. But really, they live under the Christianity, which is New Testament God, which is like, oh, I've got like, I'm gonna take a beat here, guys. I'm gonna really assess the situation and then decide what I'm gonna do, because I've brought this new life into this world. So they say they're Christians, but they live in an Old Testament kind of world, you know.
Well, where genocide was okay, right?
Like, yeah, yeah,
yeah. That was part of the game.
That was just like a normal Tuesday for God,
right.
You know.
Taco genocide Tuesday, right?
Like he's like, you smote,
right?
You know?
Right. And you know, I mean, why not cheer genocide so that Jesus can have his religious freedom in this country? This is really fucking dumb. This is really fucking stupid. And it is no wonder that this wackadoo is not going to win anything in Georgia. The best part, though, is her message needs to be trumpeted to the people who would go vote for her. Mm-hmm. That is very important, folks. That is very, very important. And Democrats have done this shit for years where they're like, oh, we can't win anyways. We can't win in Texas. Who gives a fuck? Don't go vote. If you can't win, don't get off the couch. No, go fucking vote. Like right now is the time to go vote. Even if we fucking lose, you have to vote. You have to prove to them.
I mean, wasn't
that
it Lynn,
come to the polls?
Wasn't it Ellen Wood who told people not to go vote? Right. In Georgia.
Yes.
He said, don't go vote. It's not worth it.
Right, because it's rigged. It's going to be.
It's already rigged. Why would show
up? It's already, the outcome is already determined.
Which I'm like, hey, do it again if you want. I don't fucking care. If you guys want to say the election's rigged, obviously you're going to find out that, you know, 9 out of 10 times it's the Republican Party, because I have yet to find an actual case of a Democrat voting that has committed voter fraud. You know, everything has been people in Republican counties and Republican voters. Texas, Michigan, the fucking villages in Florida.
Yeah, particularly South Florida. It seems very concentrated.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird why it's always Florida.
And it always seems to be for one Mussolini Jesus is the person that they're committing.
You got like you got the real Mussolini Jesus, and then you got the wannabe Mussolini Jesus, like the clone. Like he's like slowly hoping that he will become the new Mussolini Jesus.
Yeah, you're talking about Ron DeSantis.
I'm talking about Ron DeSantis. He is slowly in his metamorphosis, shifting into Donald Trump.
Right. You know, like hand, it's a face, slow moving weight. Thing.
The next is going to be the lean, right? The how he does the Dr. Evil kind of forward lean, you know?
Oh, okay. So he's going to have to really get a special type of shoe to get the lean.
Yeah. Correct. I mean, if anyone's seen Austin Powers, his lean is very akin, and I'll pull up a phone in a second, is very akin to when Austin Powers sat on Mini-Me's shoulders and they had the trench coat on. And they were leaning like, you know, all the way forward. That is very much the Trump way. If you look at the photos of him at press conferences, he's just forward leaning, you know, like he's got like somehow he's trying to do like Michael Jackson, where he's like going all the way down and coming back up. But he's just perpetually in this like kind of 20 degree tilt the whole time.
Right. Well, you know, the lean, a lot of people akin the lean to that he's got dementia or something. It's something to do with dementia. But here's the thing. He's a fucking snowflake, and he can't stand when someone's taller than him. So he wears lifts that keep his heels out of his loafers.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy has to lean forward because he's standing on a wedge. Right.
Right.
And the other thing is about the ramp. Everyone said he couldn't handle the ramp. Well, the reason why he can't walk down a ramp, if you think about like if you were walking with a pair of shoes where your heels couldn't stay in them, you do this little waddle penguin type walk to keep your toes in the shoes because you were wedged in with lifts. And that's why the guy does it. And I want to claim that he's lost his fucking mind, which he has a long time ago. But the thing is, he's got lifts in his shoes. And they're probably 2 or 3 inch lifts, you know, because he just can't stand being shorter than somebody.
Right.
He just can't stand it. No pun intended.
Well, he can't stand a lot of things.
Right.
Because if you look at comparison, like the bar is pretty low. If there's anyone that is better than him, which is most likely all people, he takes it personally. And is like, when he goes in for a handshake, he's like, I got a fucking thrust, you know, that's why the whole, and it's funny enough, the photo I just sent you, which is of his lean when he's shaking hands with Trudeau. If you watch video clips of Trudeau going in for handshakes with Trump, he's learned what Trump would do when he did get a big handshake, which is like he would pull in and pull the person in, and Trudeau now counteracts and pulls him in. As a response. So this is a comparison of what I was talking about, which is Austin Powers on the shoulders of Mini-Me, giving the forward lean is the same one that Trump does in any moment in time during his presidency and still now.
And again, if you look here at the two men, Trudeau is damn near taller than Trump, but without the lifts, he would be a lot taller.
Right. Exactly.
Than Trump.
Yeah.
And that and Trudeau is definitely not wearing lifts here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he probably has an ego, but he doesn't wear his ego in his shoes.
Right.
Right. Like,
and one of the things I've said this before is you mentioned dementia. Like, I think Donald Trump actually suffers from neurosyphilis. And it's the same thing.
OK, so explain that. So it's kind of what
what Al Capone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got died from.
What movie is it? I think. Tom Hardy plays Capone in a movie where he's at the stage in his life where he's lost his fucking mind and he's suffering from this.
Yeah, it's called
disease.
It's called Capone.
Is it? Well, that would be appropriate.
That would make sense.
That would make sense. right.
But yeah, it's one of those things. Like it was like 2018, you know, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm not saying he has neurosyphilis, but if he does have some neurological thing, I wouldn't be surprised if he got syphilis and then was untreated and then, you know, did treat it. But at this point, it's kind of taken its course and it has, you know, infected his brain. So, you know,
I'm not a doctor.
I only, you know, I just grew up around a mom who is in the medical field. And this is my non-medical related diagnosis.
Well, breaking news. It is official. We can announce that Donald Trump has neurosyphilis. Mm-hmm. Speaking of people that remind you of neurosyphilis, you posted this. What? I'm trying to get my transitions.
Yeah, dude,
down.
You're good. The transitions, baby. The transitions.
The transitions are badass here on the Tony Michaels podcast.
You will not find a transition that
this
is better.
Doesn't this guy remind you of like a neurosyphilis in human form, though? I mean, if neurosyphilis became a human form, this guy might be in.
If it just, again, morphed into a body, into an animate object, it was like, boom. Greg Locke.
This is neurosyphilis.
This whole thing is wild. I watched this sermon from Sunday.
You watched the whole thing?
No, I didn't watch the whole thing.
Oh, okay. I cut
into about an hour. Because like the first hour, they're playing music and doing all this stuff. And he kind of
they're actually doing the God thing.
It's like, it's like
Greg Locke goes out on his tangent.
Right, exactly. And it's not just, he doesn't just go after Kenneth Copeland in the situation. He goes after other people as well. Just Kenneth Copeland is the like primary target that is in his eyeline. He's like, I got a target on Kenneth Copeland, whether it's out of envy, jealousy, or he actually does believe Kenneth Copeland is a demon.
And well, Kenneth Copeland is a demon. I will agree.
Yeah, I'll agree
with Greg. Listen, last week, I believe it was, we played a video of Greg Locke talking about how he was gonna, you know, take the government by force, and Democrats were demons, and Democrats can't be Christians, and all this nonsense. On and on and on it went. Mm-hmm. Now, apparently, over the weekend, some TikTokers got a hold of this, and they decided to mass report Greg Locke to the IRS about his 501c3.
I'm going to go on a limb here. I don't think he actually dissolved his 501c3.
Well, I mean, if you're saying that Greg Locke is a liar, then I would definitely agree with
Everyone's
that.
Everyone's like, oh my God, he's not exempt anymore. And I'm going to say bullshit.
Well,
I don't believe it.
Right. I don't know if he dissolved it. They were like, you're not one anymore. Or he's in the process of doing it, but either way, we're gonna look at this video because I find it very interesting. A couple different things about Greg Locke, because if you go out on the interwebs, YouTube especially, and you go to some of these right wing pastors who are vehemently anti LGBTQ, they fucking say some hateful ass shit. Mm-hmm. I mean, just hateful, bigoted shit. They do not like
Christians.
Greg Locke. But they do not like Greg Locke. They have turned on Greg Locke.
Yeah.
Because Greg Locke puts them at risk here with some of the shit he says. Because he really does borderline on threats. He really does put a 501c3 in jeopardy. And that's their entire existence, mm-hmm. right? Like, their entire existence to spread their hatred and bigotry is to do it tax-free.
Right.
Like, yeah, we'd do it tax-free. We don't get taxed. Now, Greg Locke, in this video, you're going to see how he denounces a 501c3, which is kind of funny, and I'll tell you why. But you tweeted, Jesus, I think it's safe to say MAGA hate preacher Greg Locke does not like televangelist grifter Kenneth Copeland, which if anyone knows Kenny Copeland out there, you know he's a whack dude. He's the one that was, remember COVID, he was, what was the video? You got to find that one.
Yeah, I'll find the video.
Find that one.
Where he blows
he's
it
like
away.
Spitting, he's blowing it away or some shit, some weird ass shit like, stop spitting on me, you COVID spreader. But in this video that we're going to watch of Greg Locke here, which is, I think, a couple minutes long, Kenneth Copeland is a demon and he knows it, is what Greg Locke said. So
I'm telling you, there are more demons in evangelical pulpits than there are hookers in the red light district of L.A. right now. They everywhere.
We don't have a red light district here in L.A. I just want to preface that for people. We do not have one that I know of, at least.
See, this is the shit they do. This is projection. Greg Locke has definitely 100% ordered, had sex with, and probably done some really, really gross shit to prostitutes. Mm-hmm. Sex work is work, people. We should not demonize these people. We should not make these people unsafe. And Greg Locke is making these people who do this job very unsafe. And I'm sure he has done some vile shit to people who are in that field of work. And Greg Locke definitely has been in the quote unquote red light district, wherever the fuck he thinks that
is.
And he has ordered prostitutes and had sex with prostitutes. This is projection. Let's continue with the projection here.
And nobody wants to expose them. And I get people, they'll fight me. I can't believe you named that name. I can't believe you still gullible enough to follow that fool. If I got to run around with pedophiles, if I got to run around with money grubbing nonsense, I ain't messing with them.
More projection?
Yeah.
I mean, this is really, I mean, what the fuck does this have to do with preaching a sermon from the Bible?
I don't know. He went on a tangent because the sermon that he was given, he was like, do not follow false prophets. And then he went to this whole thing about, he's like, listen, I'm going to say some stuff that you don't like, and I'm okay with losing friends. But what I will tell you is Kenneth Copeland is a grifter. He's a demon. He's a da-da-da-da. He's a false prophet. He goes,
He is a grifter.
Yeah, he is. Well, he doesn't actually say grifter in here. I just said grifter because that's what he is.
Right.
But he calls him false prophet, and he calls him a demon, and then he goes into the whole Masonic demonic cult thing. It's crazy.
so you cut this down, right?
Yeah,
you went in and you cut this clip down to what we have here.
Yeah, this
so
is
so like how
two
long
minutes?
Was this diatribe that he
I want to say that the actual rant he went on was like maybe 15 to 20 minutes.
So this is the juicy stuff.
This is the juicy stuff. There's other people he mentions in there, like just like a couple things where he's like, don't be surprised if you see this person get arrested. And I was like, I don't know if anyone's going to really know who these people are. So I just focused on Kenneth Copeland. And boy, did he have a lot to say about Kenneth Copeland.
Well, let's get to it.
So I'm going to hurt some of your feelings right now. I'm going to hurt a lot of my friends' feelings right now. Kenneth Copeland is a heretic. You hear me? Kenneth Copeland is the number one Christian heretic in America.
He hates him some fucking Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah, yeah.
He has turned on Kenneth Copeland here. My guess is it's because Kenneth Copeland definitely won't throw down any kind of funds to
probably
Greg Locke.
Maybe they don't go to the same, you know, sex orgy parties. I don't know,
those cocaine sex orgies are kind of exclusive, I hear.
Mm-hmm.
So you may have to have an invitation, and Greg Locke has lost his, I guess.
Right.
He wouldn't know a Bible if it bit him in the butt in the middle of the road. Well, Kenny Copeland ain't paid.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You know, I thought about that all yesterday as I was cutting this clip in the morning. I was like, what does he mean? Bite him in the butt in the middle of the road, right?
What is the Bible doing in the middle of the road in the first place?
Like, I don't know. It just seems like a weird combination to be like the Bible. Like, oh, sir, what happened to you? Why are you in the emergency room? Well, it's kind of a crazy story, but you just hear me out. OK, there was a Bible and I was in the middle of the road. I was just crossing the road. You know, I was doing nothing wrong. And then this Bible attacked me and it bit me in the butt.
It jumped up and bit me.
They're like, what are you talking about, sir?
What the hell is going on?
And they're like, maybe, you know what? Let's do a psych eval real quick. Let's just figure out, make sure you're okay. Do you have family or anyone related that is like in the area that could come pick you up? And he's like, I'm telling you, a Bible bit me in the butt in the middle of the road. Like, this is insane. Remember, this guy is doing his sermon in Tennessee, right? It's in Tennessee.
I don't know. Tent. Usually he's in a circus tent. Like,
well,
literally,
he's in a circus tent. And
this is the circus, folks, that you're watching here.
Well,
literally
welcome to the show, baby. Welcome to the
clown.
Show.
Whoosh. Let's keep going while you're looking it up there.
Paying none of my bills, and I wouldn't take none of his blood money, no how. False prophets are false prophets.
So this is where I tweeted, because he said I wouldn't take any of his money anyhow. And from the pot account, I tweeted false prophets like money prophets.
Right.
Because you cut it as if he was talking about money and then false prophets, because, you know, if these churches are going to continue this political activity, I believe it is false prophets and they should be taxed, which is what we're going to get to here, which is kind of the juice here of why Greg Locke kind of does this rant, because these pastors, I believe, are turning on him because he's kind of exposing that they're not 501c3s.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Greg Locke is saying the quiet part out loud.
Right.
Like Donald Trump did for all the fascists in this country, that they're not actually 501. They're not charitable organizations.
Right.
It's for-profit organizations.
And Greg Locke Ministries, LLC. I don't know if that's the actual company that has the status, the tax exempt status, or if it's something else. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something, owns another thing, and it's buried within something deep where he has tax exempt status. But it's located in Wilson County, Tennessee. It's a religious institution, according to Google.
You know, we should open up our own religious institution, I think. We should.
Why not? It's the same thing that not John Stewart. It was...
Stephen Colbert did the...
Stephen Colbert opened the Super PAC.
Well, maybe we should do that, too. We could have we could have a religious organization, and we could have a... Super PAC. We can do that. Why not?
John Oliver opened. He started. He started a whole thing on like how tax exempt status are given to religious organizations. And he started one. It's actually a pretty good segment. It's from a few years ago.
Maybe we'll have to check that out. Yeah. Let's listen to what Greg Locke says about a 501c3 and the IRS and the FBI, too. He even invokes the FBI here.
Quit sending them money and buying their books. Kenneth Copeland is a demon and he knows it.
Yeah, he is.
I don't care how much money he's got. He's got a lot. And he got it off of naive Christians that ought to tithe to their local church and quit sending them money. I'm just letting it settle in on you for it. I know I got some friends right now that are like, oh, he's committing pastoral suicide. Oh.
It's not just friends that are like that, Greg. It's just your friends. Like everyone. Everybody watching this is like,
he's over here like fanning. He's like, sorry, I just put out a big ass fart of pastoral sins.
Oh my god, this fucking guy, whoosh.
Oh no, I'm not. I wouldn't preach for him if he begged me tomorrow on his knees and offered me $1 million. I am not
gonna say something about Kenneth Copeland being on his knees. I almost thought he said something about $1 million, and he went to say he was gonna say something.
Yeah, and then he rerouted and he's like, nope, can't say that.
He's
Kenneth like, Copeland. I'll say all this stuff about Kenneth Copeland.
Right.
On his knees.
Right.
Won't say.
Messing with false prophets. You know why Kenneth Copeland won't sue me? Because he knows I got the receipts. He's a false prophet. Kenneth Copeland should be under the jail. You would be shocked if you knew what's going on behind closed doors in these pastors' offices.
Wait a second. If this guy knows all this stuff.
Right.
If Greg Locke really knows all this stuff, isn't he culpable into knowing all this stuff? I don't doubt that there's a lot of shit.
Right. No, for sure. I don't know how he knows if somebody told him he was the cuck in the corner or he was watching through a little peephole inside of a painting, you know, like a fucking Scooby-Doo villain. Right. But if he knows these things, then he is a witness or he's complicit in a crime that was committed in these offices of different pastors.
What the fuck does that mean? I mean, really, this has the stench of cocaine, sex orgies, Madison Cawthorn, cousin humping stuff.
Oh, this is
right.
Yeah.
This definitely has cousin humping written all over it. And it is, you know, it is Greg Locke and it is Kenneth Copeland. So, you know, I don't know if they're related, but maybe that, I don't know.
You wouldn't be like, oh my goodness, I don't care. Have I not explained to you? I don't care what you think about what I'm saying. Because the Bible says beware of false prophets, so apparently they're around. The only thing they can get me on being a false prophet is I call out Democrats and preach against demons. Well, if that makes me a false prophet, then la-di-da, da-da-da.
I was really hoping he was going to drop that mic.
I was hoping he was going to do more juggling.
And then drop it.
Really, honestly, this is a circus. I want to see more juggling, really, honestly. I mean, if he brought out clowns to juggle like bowling pins or something, that would be fucking fantastic.
It would be great.
Watch every week, Greg, if you had the clowns come out and do some juggling and shit. Maybe like the fire breathers.
But that might be a little too demonic, you know? We got Satan's cult up here, you know?
He's going to talk about Satan's cult here in just a second. Listen to this.
I dare Kenneth Copeland to take me to court and sue me for what I'm about to say. He is a 33rd degree Mason.
Why would Kenneth Copeland take him to court because he's a Mason?
I don't know what that has to do with him. That might be what he's about to say in a moment.
Oh, let's see.
He is in the Masonic Satanic cult.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Like, this totally reminds me of the video that we watched several weeks ago of Alex Jones. He's like, God is going to come and get you, you demons.
The vengeance of God.
These people always have this same little dick satanic energy.
Right.
What the
fuck? And then Greg Glock goes from,
degree, 33 degrees, satanic temple.
And now back to the sermon. Like, that's exactly what is happening here. It is very much Alex Jones.
What is this shit?
Going to be a spectator at the great white throne judgment when God looks at Kenny Copeland and says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You going to hell for all of eternity because you a lying, sorry, low down, good for nothing sack of false prophecy. We'll wait till we got all the cards on the table and we'll just have us a big old national press conference and we'll just call them all what they are.
Okay. You're right. And deal. Now, back to the sermon.
Yeah. And now back to communion. Right.
Now, like, back to Jesus.
Back to Jesus. Because this is exactly what Jesus would do.
What in the fuck? So I was getting this clip confused with another one that came out. I think Tennessee Holler had the other one that I was thinking of. Where talking about Tennessee, the IRS. Yeah. Because that was a popular one.
Here's what I'll say on this. Everyone else was focused on the tax exempt status. Him saying that he's done, mm-hmm. he's not tax exempt. He can, you know, tell the IRS to come after him, whatever else.
Right, because that was the TikTok thing.
Right. That was the TikTok, and that was the video that was shared around. And that's what everyone was talking about.
Right.
And until I actually see paperwork that proves it, I won't believe it.
Well, do you believe anything that motherfucker? Did you just see that video? I know. Do you believe anything?
But everyone was focused on the tax thing. And I was like, you guys are burying the lead here. The real lead is the infighting within these mega church grifting type personalities. They've all got shit on each other.
But don't you think, though, that the reason why they're abandoning Greg Locke is because what we said earlier, he's saying the quiet part out loud here.
Oh, yeah.
He's basically saying we are political organizations. We are not charitable organizations.
Right. Exactly. He's making the case for why they should not have this tax exempt status.
Right.
And they're all pissed off because they're like, listen, I need another G5 on the runway
Jesus Christ, I can just
fly it in unison with my other one. You know,
will you shut the fuck up for a minute? Dude, quit saying the quiet part out loud.
They're like, listen, we'll buy you a nuke. We'll buy you a church if you shut the fuck up, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, in maybe a good analogy, Greg Locke is Donald Trump. And if that is true, Kenneth Copeland is Mitch McConnell, right? Like, stop, cut it out, cut out the fucking, because we see that in the, apparently the election fraud in Michigan, which we might get to today, but I want to play this clip by Tennessee Holler here of Greg Locke. This is the same sermon. This is May 22nd, right?
This is just a different part of that. This is from that, before.
Okay.
This happened before.
So the craziness that we just seen happened after he said this shit. Yeah, okay, let's listen.
Just in case some of y'all been reading the newspaper, you think we're crazy. Nobody's forcing you to be here today. Drag him out.
I love the piano in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that.
There's someone. There was someone in this church that spoke out. You know, he's like, he said something. And then here we go. Greg Locke saying, drag him out.
Well, I just said he was Donald Trump-esque, but let's listen.
You think we're crazy. Nobody's forcing you to be here today. Drag him out right now in Jesus' name. Drag both of them.
Drag him out in Jesus' name.
Hey, can you kill that guy, but in Jesus' name? Listen,
Jesus,
I want you to pick him up
and open the door with his head. Oh, my God.
But I want to point out that is probably the most dangerous part. When you use in Jesus' name as an excuse or the way in which you rationalize or try to justify an act, that's like, go commit genocide in Jesus' name. Well, go kill this person.
That's what
Jesus'
the fucking
name.
What's her name? Candace.
Right, exactly.
That dumb shit that's running for governor.
It's like, look, go rape this person in Jesus' name. Like, that is what he's saying. It's all good if you do it in Jesus' name. That is why religion is a fucking, it is rotten to its core. It creates hostility. It has created wars, as we've seen over time, and it brings out the worst in people.
Well,
you know, maybe religion helps you to kind of find your way. That's totally fine. But when you use it as a justification for acting out something against a group of people or just an individual, that is when you know that religion is a very, very bad thing.
Well, American evangelicalism, especially the Greg Locke, Kenneth Copeland style, right, is very fucking dangerous and very gross. Mm-hmm. But let's listen to his justification of his IRS status, because it's very Trumpian. It's double-sided here. Listen.
Right.
I'm out in Jesus' name.
Get out in Jesus' name, you demon. You do it while I'm preaching. I'll take this microphone and bust you in the mouth with it in the name of God.
I should have kept playing it because I'm not even to the good part here. He's talking about busting someone in the mouth in the name of God.
He's like, listen, I'm going to physically assault this person in the name of God. You're all witnesses, but God was the right one who gave me the power to bestow this mic upside this person's head. But so this is the none projection. Of y'all better snitch on me.
This is the projection, Gabe. He thinks this is why Greg Locke is losing his mind. This is why people like Kenneth Copeland and these other pastors are abandoning this fool, because as much as he projects that he knows the skeletons in their closets, right, what he's saying in that last clip we were watching, they know the skeletons in his closet.
Oh, yeah.
They know the skeletons.
Oh, it's a two-way street.
That's
whole way down.
And it's this whole street. I use God, my God is my excuse to do all my sins. Like, this is fucking ridiculous. This is total full-on projection. And you're going to see it with the IRS thing here.
We ain't playing your stupid Democrat games. And so, Father, we need to be released in a spirit of giving. We might need to give a little bit so we can increase security around here. And Lord, it ain't going to get no better. It's going to get worse. People better make up our mind who's side.
Is he praying here?
Yes, he's praying because there's a person behind him that's leaning their head on his back.
And he's got his eyes closed. He's praying here.
He's praying. This sounds he's giving like, a prayer to like God. Prayer. Yeah, no, it's a God.
About
it's a God.
Security.
It's a prayer for God. Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Had their own in this fight, saying that I called last week to take up arms against the government. If they
you
heard that,
that
they're smoking crack,
you
apparently
did
they didn't pay attention. You God-hating communist America, you'll find out what an insurrection is, because we ain't playing your garbage. We ain't playing your mess. So that wasn't at all what I said.
Nope.
They don't care what you
not
say.
Not even close.
They only care what it sounds like you say, so that they can make you say what they want you to say, so they can eviscerate you.
And that's why you say what you say, how you say it, so that we'll say that you said
right.
it that way.
Yeah,
like literally that's right Greg Locke.
Yeah.
That's why you're saying it the way that you're saying it.
I mean, it's very Trump like, right? He's like,
right,
I never said that. Listen, I said a thing that you think I said, but I didn't really say the thing that you think I said, but really what I said was different from that thing that you said that I think that I said, and I don't actually know what I'm saying right now.
Oh, these fucks.
The Bible says that we'll take it by force. Everybody mad because I said that in this day and age, you can't be a Christian and vote Democrat, which, by the way, you can't. Okay, so I still believe that. Because everybody's like, oh, what we need to do is take away their tax exempt status.
So he's saying what everyone is thinking here. Mm-hmm. Even like Kenneth Copeland and all his other pastor buddies, they're thinking the same thing. Like, yeah, strip this guy of his 501c3 and concentrate and focus on Greg Locke. Do not see... Don't focus over here to what magic we're trying to pull.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely focus on Greg Locke. And again, the story is that TikTokers really took the clip last week of Greg Locke and started circulating around to get people, maybe encourage people to mm-hmm. report him to the IRS.
Right. I got an attorney. And I dissolved our stinking 501c3 in this church because the government ain't going to tell me what I can and what I can't say. So IRS, we don't need your stupid tax exempt status.
Now, he understands that even if he doesn't have a tax exempt status, he still has to deal with what's that agency that... the IRS. He understands like it doesn't matter. Like the IRS is like, we don't give a shit if you're exempt or not.
Right.
We just need to know if you are and if we need to collect taxes from your dumbass. Like,
right.
They don't give a shit about your tax exempt status, really, other than the fact of whether you are or you are not a 501c3 and you should be classified that way. And if they should tax you or not. Right.
Right.
This is craziness.
Announce 501c3 communism in this church.
What?
And the IRS and the FBI and everybody we've been turned into can eat my dirty socks on live TV. Mm. I'm sick of all these limp-wristed false prophet pastors siding with the Democrats. No wonder these panty-wearing pastors closed their church down during COVID.
Okay, this is very important. This is a very important part of this clip. He says these panty-wearing pastors. It almost feels like to me, Gabe, it almost feels like to me that at these cocaine-fueled sex orgies, and we might have seen a picture of Madison Cawthorn, who claimed he was invited to these type of orgies.
Right.
Wearing women's underwear, yeah. Women's lingerie. So I don't, maybe Greg Locke is trying to tell us something here.
I mean, he's also saying that all these places close their doors. Meanwhile, Greg Locke's like, I don't even have doors to close. I'm right. in a tent, guys. I'm in a tent close in the middle curtains. Of the fucking field close in Tennessee. Can we collapse it? Like, what can we just like shut it down? Like, bring it down. I don't have doors, guys. How do I close these doors? Even if I wanted to, I couldn't close these doors.
Whoosh, whoosh. This fucking guy. The other thing that he says is that that 501c3s are communism. So basically what Greg Locke is saying is all the 501c3ing he's been doing all these years, all that's been communism.
Yeah, all that money that he has saved to accumulate his wealth to build out a bigger and bigger tent.
Right.
He now says, well, that was communism. That was socialism. Right. You guys, I should not have taken that. If that's the case, I want him to return all that money.
That's right. It's demonic Democrat type stuff to have a 501c3.
I mean, it's also weird, like when you have a church and they're like, hey, everyone, put money into the collections basket. That's a kind of a mini socialism.
Right.
You all contributed and gave money and paid to this group, right, for them to build out and make it better so that you could use the next time around.
Easy. Do not let Greg Locke know that Jesus, who is actually a brown man, would be a socialist. Be careful.
Also, I do not remember Jesus actually taking money. So there's also that as well. You know.
Yeah. Well, let's finish what this wackadoo has to say.
Bunch of sissies let their wife run the show. I revoke our 501c3 status and IRS. We don't give two flips what you think about it. We're going to take away his 501. No, you ain't. We gave it up. It's stupid. So you and all your compromising communism 501c3 can get out.
Communism.
When tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes biblical. I'm calling for Christians to stop being wimps is what I'm calling for. It's amazing what I'm preaching on today, by the way. Beware of false prophets. Which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves.
Huh. That seemed like a little bit of projection there. Huh?
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. A lot of projection.
Yeah.
A lot of projection with these guys.
It looks like, sorry, side note, it looks like we're having issues with
I noticed that right before we came on with YouTube. And so I got to fix that after the show. I didn't have time to fix it before. Oh, so we will have it tomorrow.
Tony.
We will have it fixed tomorrow. All right, No worries. I do want to play the, you sent me this video because we did allow Greg Locke to slander.
Kenneth Copeland, I mean, you have to give the opportunity for Kenneth Copeland to defend himself.
Right.
I'm still waiting on. We'll see if that actually comes up.
Right. Well, let's see if Kenneth Copeland actually is a demon deer. Let's see if there's proof of this. Let's see if Greg Locke is right.
COVID-19.
Yeah.
COVID-19.
Ooh.
Ugh. Oh, the wind of God.
The wind of God.
On you.
On you.
You are destroyed forever.
You are destroyed forever.
And you will never be back.
And you'll never be back.
Thank you, our God.
Thank you, our God.
Let it happen.
Let it happen.
Cause it to happen.
What the fuck is this? I mean, like, we've seen this before, but I mean, I rewatched this and I'm like, what in the fuck is this?
You know, what's weird is, you know,
there's a lot of things that are weird. Yeah.
OK, we are in an empty church right now. And I say that very loosely. Church.
Right.
I don't know if I can't tell if Kenneth Copeland actually believes in COVID.
Right.
Or they were forced to do this. Right.
Right.
But the group is kind of 6 feet apart from each other, right? You know, they're being separate. They don't have people in there. He believes in COVID enough where he thinks that COVID can be cured by a blow
by spitting on people.
He's spitting on people.
What
like
the fuck?
The camera guy there is like, oh man, good thing I'm like 200 feet away.
Jesus Christ. Oh, fuck. You know, and Kenneth I don't normally agree with Greg Locke on anything, like on anything, but I really do, Gabe, have to agree with Greg Locke on this. I think that Kenneth Copeland really is a fucking demon.
He is for sure a demon.
Oh, crazy ass shit. Why do we have to go through this? So let's get back to the Tweety Tweets and Trendy Trends. Let's get off the religion here for a minute and let's get
off our religious pulpit. Okay. Right, we'll take a step down, you know, right.
Maybe off the people crazy here for a second. You've seen the news of Kissinger being Putin sycophants here, saying mm-hmm. that Russia must give away part of their territory, which they already had. They've already given away the Crimea. This is already a thing. This is like, oh, well, if you want to stop Putin, just capitulate to him. Yeah, if you want to stop a murderous dictator, capitulate to him, which most people honestly, are telling Henry to fuck himself.
I thought Henry Kissinger was already dead. Just gonna be honest.
Well, I mean,
thought he was already dead. And then he showed up in the trends and I was like, this guy's still alive?
What, man, I thought he was dead like when I was in junior high. That was a long time ago. I thought this motherfucker was dead. He was like 100 years old in the black and white era when he was on TV in the black and white era. Wasn't he?
It is amazing how many years blood money can buy you, you know?
Right, I guess so. Ricky Gervais, the comedian, is in the news. Did you watch the clip of the jokes that he's making about trans people? Did you watch the clip?
I have not watched a clip. I only know the recent backlash, but that was for Dave Chappelle's transphobic joke. So I haven't seen anything about this yet, actually.
Right. So Dave Chappelle, we all know that Netflix has also caught hell for amplifying Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. Ricky Gervais has a new comedy special. I forget exactly what it's called. I guess it doesn't. I think it's Super Nature, maybe, is what it's called. And it's on Netflix, obviously, because Netflix is catching hell too. But Ricky Gervais is really catching hell here. The thing that's interesting to me is how the right wing Christians, like some of the people that we were just watching, how they are going to really form up that they're forming an alliance with someone like Ricky Gervais, who absolutely is not an ally. Mm-hmm. Of that community. It's going to be really weird to watch this online unfold. This is kind of like it's kind of like going to happen like the Will Smith Chris Rock incident. And I know it has much more social issues involved with the trans community. I went and listened to part of the jokes. I haven't watched the whole special, so I can't speak on it. I can only speak on a few of the jokes that I watch him tell, and they are pretty insensitive. They are not as direct as Dave Chappelle's jokes towards specific people. They are a little more ham-handed, I guess you would say. But for Ricky Gervais to take aim at a marginalized community in his special with Netflix, I think is intentional in that he wants to trend for this. Mm-hmm. Netflix wants to trend for this because they want us to go watch this.
Yeah, right.
Is kind of my opinion here. I think Netflix is now baiting some of their content because mm-hmm. of this.
Right. No, I mean, 100%. I think they're also, you know, in some ways they're hedging their bets, right? They've got people who are, you know, transphobic, and then they've got people who they've featured specials who are, you know, people from that community, right? Or within the LGBTQ community. That they've lifted up through a platform. So I think in some ways they are hedging, because they're like, listen, we're losing a lot of people in terms of viewers and subscribers. We're not making as much money. So if we like send some people down the river to go look at the transphobic stuff, we send some people down the river to go look at the more like appropriate, you know, correct things that are being said. But the other thing too is like, as a comedian, the worst, cheapest fucking go-to thing is to punch down a marginalized community, as you said, a group that doesn't have the majority, or at least the voice of the majority, to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to put you guys, already a victim of everyday hate speech and crimes, I'm going to make you now the target of my special that I was paid millions for the rights of, or partner with this streaming service like Netflix. I'm going to use my platform instead of saying commentary on something else, right? On talking about how, you know, these rights are taken away, or this group is being marginalized, or these people are being persecuted. Instead of actually taking the opportunity to say, I can punch up to the group that is punching down. Instead, I'm going to punch down on these people because I'm going to go for the cheap laugh.
Right.
Because that is the thing that people will go for. And when you have comedians that do that, it's disgusting. It is cheap. It is vile.
People buy it.
People 100% buy it.
And don't get it twisted. People, they are going to, again, the community that hates Ricky Gervais for being an outright atheist are going to love him for this. And I don't know if that was the aim. I don't think Ricky Gervais wrote these jokes and aimed for that.
Right.
I know after the Dave Chappelle scandal with Netflix, I'm sure they knew these jokes were there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they knew. But I want to go back to one of the comedic geniuses of all time. Have you watched the new Carlin documentary on HBO Max?
I have not. It is on my to watch list.
It is absolutely fucking fantastic. I watched it front to back.
Yeah. I've heard great things from other friends.
Kelly Carlin, his daughter, did a great job. Carlin, if you guys don't know, if you guys can't tell, Carlin has a big influence on me and my commentary, because Carlin, I believe, is more of a commentator than he is a comedian at certain parts of his career, because of some of the stuff that Carlin went through and how he transitioned through his career. And the documentary does a great job of explaining that. I don't view myself as a comedian. I view myself as a commentator who uses comedy, who makes you laugh, who uses those things to make you think about certain issues the way that maybe you should or shouldn't, or maybe a new way of thinking about something, right? A new perspective on it. But George Carlin really did always try to punch up with his comedy. He explains it really well here on this archive footage from CNN on Larry King Live. He's talking about, I just lost the name. Holy moly. I'll get it here in a second. But he's talking about another comedian who was punching down on poor people at the time. And
he wears glasses and he's got a leather jacket. And
I lost it. He's the guy, the twinkle, twinkle little star. How I wonder what you are as I sit in this parking lot and eat my girlfriend's, you know, that's his stick is the,
right.
Oh, bang. But anyways, let's listen to what Carlin says about punching down in comedy. And remember, this is from many, many years ago, about 30 years ago. And George Dice Clay, that's it.
Dice Clay.
I guy with the save there, Andrew Dice Clay. We're going to get to Elon Musk here today. So stick around, iGuy. But let's listen to what Carlin says about punching up and punching down in comedy.
I would defend to the death his right to do everything he does. The thing that I find unusual, and it's, you know, it's not a criticism so much, but his targets are underdogs. And comedy traditionally has picked on people in power, people who abuse their power. Women and gays and immigrants are kind of, to my way of thinking, underdogs. And, you know, he ought to be careful because he's Jewish. And a lot of the people who want to pick on these kind of groups, the Jews are on that list a little further. You got women, gays, gypsies, blah, 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 blah. And then suddenly you find Jews. And Andrew,
suddenly Andrew's arrested.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, obviously he should do what he wants. And
why does he get away with it, do you think, then?
Well, because
we have never laughed at jokes about the
poor.
He's
appealing. I think he's appealing largely. I think his core audience are young.
Now, listen to this. This is very important because this has not changed. And this is, I think, what you were saying earlier about appealing to different audiences, not just Gervais, but Netflix in general.
Core audience are young white males who are threatened by these groups. I mean, a lot of these guys aren't sure of their manhood because that's a problem when you're going in through adolescence. You know, am I really? Am I? Could I be? I hope I'm not one of them. And the women who assert themselves and are competent are a threat to these men. And so are immigrants in terms of jobs and
so that's why we as an audience then will laugh.
I think that's what is at the core of that experience that takes place in these arenas is a certain sharing of anger and rage and at these targets. And I'm sure Andrew isn't that angry at them. I'm sure he's playing it as a comic.
And George is doing the best he can here to express
right.
that Andrew has the right to say these things. And he's talking about Andrew Dice Clay, just like Ricky Gervais has the right to go out on stage and say whatever he wants. He absolutely has that right. And we shouldn't take that right away from him.
Right.
to be a hateful fucking bigot if that's what he wants to portray himself as, right? And that's what Carlin is trying to say here is that, hey, Andrew, you can do what you want, but when you do these things, they have consequences. Words have consequences. Words have actions.
Right.
And no one probably understood that better than George Carlin, who at one time was arrested for saying curse words on stage.
Right. Which is a famous bit that he goes into, right? Mm-hmm. Which is the seven things you can't say on TV.
Right. And it goes through it in the documentary. And really, if you're a George Carlin fan or even don't know a lot of George Carlin's comedy, but you've seen some clips on Twitter, you definitely should go watch the documentary. It is worth noting in the documentary, as much accolades as people give Carlin for being such a brilliant mind and such a smart person and to get us to think and his delivery of comedy, how damaged of a human he actually was.
Right.
And how all of us are not perfect. And we must remember that. We must remember that we're not all of us are perfect. And we should seek perfection where imperfection lies. And I think that's what George Carlin did the best. And again, I not getting paid to promote the documentary, but I love Carlin. He's one of my favorite comedians. Him and Pryor and Eddie Murphy are some of my favorite comedians of all time. And Carlin, as anyone can tell, is a huge influence on the things that I do on a day-to-day basis and how I talk and how I speak and how I express my commentary. Mm-hmm. So go watch that documentary if you have a chance. It's great.
I'll make sure to tell Judd Apatow when we go have lunch later today.
Oh, okay. Good. Good. Let Judd know that I need my Soros check.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure.
When he gets,
but it is amazing to see how George Carlin, again, not to be like he is the soothsayer, right?
He
predicted, but his commentary is pretty accurate. And again, it is unfortunate that we have people who for cheap laughs and easy money will punch down on a marginalized community because, hey, it's an easy laugh, right? So, you know, it's the world we live in. And unfortunately, we still live in that world where he nails it on the head, which is these young white men are, you know, threatened, unsure of where they stand, you know, in the world that they're in. You know, they're losing their manlyhood and they feel like they're the victim. And we see that again and again and again. And it is so true. And the people that followed Trump through the presidency and have continued to follow him to this day, where these men, these white men, are either throwing themselves to be the victim after they've already committed some sort of hate crime, or, you know, the MAGA King mass shooter is another example. And then you got people like Marjorie Taylor Greene who are defending white supremacists and anti-Semites because it's just a young white kid who exactly George Carlin is describing.
Right. Well, and I think the attitude that George Carlin has always had is that words have consequences and words are action. And you should punch up, you should hold the powerful accountable. Right. I mean, that is what we should be doing with our words and our actions. And to be honest with you, Ricky Gervais and Dave Chappelle, they're not the powerful as to be held accountable. They should be holding the powerful accountable, and we're making them too powerful, if that makes sense.
Comedians are supposed to be the jesters of the court.
Right.
They are the people who are supposed to be able to make fun of those who are powerful.
Right.
The king and the queen and those who are ruling over everyone else.
Like the Marjorie Taylor Greens, the Lauren Boebert, the people who are actually in power, who have an elected power. They can exert their power over us.
Right.
You should be
adding commentary and comedy and satire and parody and just overall punditry toward these people, but not of the people below you or of equal status. You should be making fun of. That is not how it should be. The jester doesn't make fun of the common people, right? He makes fun of those who in the royal class, the ones who are actually ruling over everyone else, because they have the ability to. They are the ones who are given kind of that veil of, you know, you have a get out of jail free card essentially right now. You can make the commentary. We can all joke about it because everyone else can relate to it. But if you attack one specific group and allow these white young males to be in on the joke and laugh at the small group, you're hurting the problem, not helping it.
Right. Well, speaking of bringing truth to power and making fun of powerful people, Gabe, our headline and our explain what is going on, because Elon Musk, this is not the first time he stepped in this before where he believes.
It has happened in the past where somebody has shared an article and he has commented on it as if the article was truth. Right. And in today's situation, Elon Musk is replying to an article that was written in Breitbart about how dark money, Bill Gates, are all coming together to attack Elon Musk. Elon Musk is the victim. Exclusive. Bill Gates poured millions into dark money funding attacking Elon Musk. Elon's like, I'm just a white guy. I didn't do anything wrong. It's not like I sexually assaulted and tried to trade hand jobs for horses on a SpaceX corporate jet.
Yeah, don't think about that. Think about how Bill Gates is trying to get me.
Right.
I'm the victim here.
I'm the one who is being persecuted.
Right.
By these elites like Bill Gates.
This seems like what George Carlin was just talking about, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this really is a truth to power, you know, because Elon hears that this guy, Bill Gates, who is another person that we should clown the hell out of, right? Yeah. Like, we should clown Bill Gates. Yeah. He is the powerful. We should hold him accountable through comedy and through satire and parody. I mean, that's truth to power is to him. But for this guy to act like he's the common, you know, man and Bill Gates is out to get the fuck out of here with this shit. Because this is not the first time just in the last week that he fell for this shit. What did he fall for? Didn't he fall for something last week? Is that kind of the same?
There was another. I got to look up exactly what it was. But I remember it being another article and somebody being like, you know, people calling him out, or but also people being like, oh, my God, can you believe it? He's telling the truth. Can you believe it? This is an exclusive, widespread, you know, it's like, no. Somebody wrote something under the assumption, and also, you know, drawing a line between a lot of random dots here and trying to come up with some conspiracy. And then Elon comes in and goes, yep, that is how it is. And it's like, nope, it's not.
Well, I just want to remind everybody out there that's listening that Elon does not own Twitter, and he will never. He will never own Twitter. He might own Twitter stock, but he will not.
It is May 24th.
Yeah.
We are now 1 month. I believe the deal was signed April 25th. That's when the paperwork, April 25th, 26th is when the paperwork went through. So we are now 1 month later.
Okay.
And as a result, the stock has plummeted from $998 to. Mm-hmm.
You're talking about Tesla.
Yeah. $629. That is less than where we left it on Friday. And Friday, Elon Musk had lost a total net worth of around $66 billion. And that price was at, I believe it was maybe $40 higher. When you look at the price, if I look at Friday right now, the end price was around $663, I believe is what it was. And now it's $629.
How's Twitter doing since he made his offer of, was it like $54 a share or something?
It was $54.20 is what he made the offer for, right? Because he tried to make a $4.20 joke out of it.
I tried to say at that point, there's no way he's going to buy.
Right.
No
and Twitter now, due to his own reckless behavior, has now dropped down to $36.21.
Ooh. So that seems like a really bad financial. I mean, for Elon Musk to be the most brilliant financial mind in the world,
right.
You think he'd look for any reason he possibly could to get out of this, get out of this Twitter? Because it seems to me that the $54.20 that he would pay versus what it's worth, he would lose a hell of a lot more money than if he just took the billion-dollar walk.
We're talking, you know, $36.22 to $54.20. We're talking a delta of $18 right now as of this moment. You know, I don't know what the actual total shares are in terms of what the actual value is. To do the math right now, but I can tell you that that is a significant loss in the value of which he was paying. You know, the only people who are making out like on this are Twitter and those who are Twitter shareholders, right? The board and every, the execs, these people are like popping bottles. Cause even last week, as of mid last week or the end of last week, they, you know, essentially popped champagne and said, the price is what it is. We are not changing the price. We are committed to the agreement that we made on April 25th and the agreements that we signed, you signed it, we signed it. If you're going to pay us, you're either paying us the $44 billion or you're paying us $1 billion. And if you try to fight it, we're going to take you to court, which means you'll probably have to settle. So it may not be a whole billion, or it also could be over $1 billion, because you've also got to pay the legal fees to cover what Twitter costs to go to jail or to go to court.
Well, I mean, go to jail, I don't know if that means like go to the barn to get a horse to
right.
Away. I bail yourself out, but
it is the
bail yourself out with a horse. I don't know.
You might bail yourself out with a bale of hay, right?
Maybe what he does is he goes to the Twitter headquarters and he promises a whole fleet of horses that he could sell.
He's like, listen, hold your horses, okay? I'm not that stable right now.
Oh my God. Stop.
you want to keep going?
Minus Margie points out a really good point here. She says, remember on 5/20/2022, which was only 4 days ago, Tony and Gabe predicted that Elon Musk would get booted from Tesla. And I said on that day, I give it 90 days. I give 90 days that he would lose his position at Tesla. Because here's what I think, Gabe. I think he'll never own Twitter. I mean, he may own stock, but he'll never own Twitter.
I mean, he owns the 9 or so percent or whatever it is right now.
Right. He's never going to own Twitter. He's going to lose his position at Tesla over this because he's a fucking bonehead.
Right.
He's a dum-dum. He's a dummy. He's a fucking idiot. If you've ever listened to any interview of him trying to talk about something, he uses word salad. He is trying to become Trump. That was his whole fucking thing in the first place. He never wanted to own Twitter. He just wanted to be the Trump of Twitter. He wanted to be the Pied Piper of all these fucking trumped up white dudes. Exactly. That's it. These incels. And he didn't realize and he didn't do the fucking math in his head because he is a fucking idiot. He's not a good business person. Yep. He's a moron. He is not intelligent. He just so happens to have a silver spoon in his mouth, and he's stolen intellectual property from other motherfuckers. And he's been able to buy that property and act like it's his own, and he invented it. Elon Musk miscalculated when he thought that MAGA was his customers at Tesla. And he totally fucking miscalculated that point. And Tesla, the fucking investors, the company, the employees are going to pay a huge price for this. And I think Elon Musk is too. And I think they're going to fire him from that position. I've heard this. You can't fire him. He owns it. Get the fuck out of here. That ain't how public companies work. Have you ever heard of fucking Steve Jobs and Apple? You are a dumb motherfucker.
But it's also not just public companies. Like, you look at the situation. Right. So on April 27th is when I ran through the hypothetical. Let's run through a hypothetical situation, which is like, if he does this, he's got to come up with the money. The money is going to come out of Tesla because that is the most liquid asset he has to get money to actually pay for the deal to cover his end of the financing, which, by the way, is still not secure. Just want to point that out for everyone who's listening, and also iGuy. The financing is not secure. And I wouldn't be surprised that because of the way that the stock has gone down, I wouldn't be surprised if the stock hits 540 or lower.
Well, he's lost more goddamn money than what he offered Twitter in the first place.
We're talking the deal is $44 billion, and he's lost over $66 billion on Friday. We're talking somewhere in the 70s, if not more than that, potentially by the end of the week. But the thing that I remember here is on April 27th, when I said, let's run through the hypothetical. If he does this, the board's already frustrated. So are the stockholders. So what's going to happen is he could potentially have a vote of no confidence, which means he is ousted as Tesla CEO. Now, the other thing that people need to remember is that not only does it happen in public companies, but it also will happen in a private company. Before a company goes public, you can be ousted. Uber, WeWork. These are both examples.
It doesn't mean that because you own the company and the board can't look at you and go, you're out, motherfucker. You're not in the best interest
of the company. Yeah, exactly. You are not in the best interest. You are losing money here. You are making this a problem for us. Yes, the company is full on your brand, right? You are tied. You know, you've got Adam Neumann with WeWork. He is the brand right there. They're tied together. It was his enthusiasm and his energy and his aggressive expansion tactics that got them to where they was. However, it was also the demise that took him down, right? Like that was his demise. That was what happened. The same thing happened with Travis, who is the CEO of Uber. Before these companies even went public, they were ousted because they were a thorn in the company's side, and they were actually a toxic root. And
well, yeah, I mean, take it was out. Build the company. Well, yeah. Crystal says here, Musk misread the room. And I think you're right, Crystal, but I think it's well beyond that. I think he sent out a tweet. He got a lot of response because he's a fucking incel bonehead who's on the internet all the time, who fucking loves his incel army. And they convinced him that he can't puss out on this thing. Yeah. He's really got to stay in it so that he can keep up this stupid fucking red pill image, whatever he's trying to promote on fucking social media platforms, which he's duped all these dumb motherfuckers into thinking he's some kind of red pill person. It really is stupid because we see this same situation that Crystal says of Musk misreading the room when he gets his fucking dick out to try to have someone jerk him off. And he says, I'll buy you a horse. Like this is who Elon is. And I tried to tell you motherfuckers this. I tried to say it from the beginning. He will not own Twitter. It is all bullshit. He's lying to you. He's full of fucking shit. All of it. The whole shit and caboodle. Anytime this guy opens his mouth, he is full of shit. He's full of it. He's fucking full of shit. Full stop. That's just what it is.
Yeah. I mean, this is just another example of Icarus flying too close to the sun. Hubris. Right. Is a hell of a drug.
It is.
And that is ultimately what brings these people down. They get power. They have ego. They believe that they can do anything. They can do no wrong. They say something on Twitter. They get stuck and cornered. They feel like they have to commit so they don't feel weak. And then what ends up happening? He fucks himself over. He loses more net worth than the actual deal itself. And it actually continues to just fall and fall and fall until, you know, he's potentially ousted at the company. And here's the thing. I don't know what Tesla knew about SpaceX or if this other stuff happens at Tesla, you know, because here's the thing. If there's one example or one incident of this happening, I'm sure there's probably others, right? And his companies obviously breed that Jim Crow era frat house type of environment. And that's just, you know, based on 46 lawsuits at Tesla. SpaceX has multiple on its own. I mean, there were more lawsuits filed in 2021 for discrimination, both gender and race, than there were in any other year in the 18 years that Tesla's been around. So for people to be like, oh, it is what it is, and that's how it is, and blah, 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 like bull fucking shit. This company is becoming to be an issue because of Elon Musk.
It and we're going to move on to some more truth to power shit, but really, honestly, for anyone to take anything that Elon Musk says going forward from here on out seriously, rather it be someone at a board on a company or investors or anyone, they really do deserve what's coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
To believe anything that motherfucker says are to sycophant for him in any fucking way, shape or form. He is a dumb fuck. I don't even care if he starts saying liberal shit again. He's a dumb fuck to me. Yeah. He's full of fucking shit. Always has been, always will be. And he's always got his finger on the sail. That's all it is. He just is feeling the wind, and his wind on social media has always been these trumped up white dudes. Benny Loco asked, where do I get the hat at Tony Michaels?
Where do you get that hat?
You just go to thetonymichaels.com. And if you go to thetonymichaels.com, there's the hat store there. There's another merch store. Gabe's merch store is there as well. He's got some good,
I gotta make, I gotta make some new merch too.
Yeah, well, we need to do Doubt Me. Everyone wants the Doubt Me shirts. Doubt Me. Right? We gotta come up with the Doubt Me shirts.
Yeah.
We'll have to come up with it. Speaking of doubting someone, this is Mo Brooks, who got doubted by Donald Trump. You know, Trump actually endorsed Mo Brooks. And then when Mo Brooks is like, Trump's kind of an asshole, he's crazy, and I'm not going to go down this train because there might be some criminal liability.
Right.
Mo Brooks basically lost Donald Trump's endorsement. But here in this video, he has Ted Cruz endorsing him. But Ted Cruz says Donald Trump's name a lot in this video. Gabe, my question is, we're going to watch this video. It's only 15 seconds long. But my question is, before we watch this, do you think that Ted Cruz practices this in the mirror? Because this is not the first time I've watched him do this in a video. But do you think he practices? Let's watch and then you can answer.
Yeah. Let me know. Yeah.
comes to Donald Trump, every Republican candidate on earth professes their allegiance to President Trump. I love Donald Trump. No, I love Donald Trump even more. No, I have Donald Trump tattooed on my rear end.
So
what do you think?
You know what, dude? This was fucking hilarious the first time I heard this joke.
Call it a joke?
Look,
Ted Cruz is a fucking
joke. I give this challenge out to someone on the internet right now. Find me one funny conservative comedian, and I'll give you $5. I will send you $5 on Venmo, but I guarantee you can't do it. I guarantee it. Now, Ted Cruz here, I wholeheartedly believe that he's got a full body length mirror and he's like, Heidi, check this out. I got this new bit, you know? And she's like,
He brings Snowflake in too to fucking torture that dog again?
Oh, I am sure. Snowflake has claw marks on the door trying to get out. But I'm sure he goes in the room. He's like, Heidi, look, I got this new bit. And she's like, is it the whole like tattoo on the butt thing? And she goes, he's like, yeah, but I got it even better now. It's even better, I promise. And she's like, okay, I guess I'm forced into this marriage here, so let's do it, you know. And he continues. His children are like, okay, Dad, we get it. It was not funny the first time. I guarantee he makes his family sit to that joke as he practices late into the hours. His neighbors are like, keep it down, Ted. And he's like, I'm working on this joke. And they're like, it wasn't funny the first time. Like, everyone is telling him it's not funny. And he does it. He did it before and people are like, ha, ha, that's so good, you know? And then he does it again with Mo Brooks. And it's like, dude, it's not even a one-hit wonder, horrible. Man. It's a one-hit miss.
It's a horrible. Well, here's the thing. Because he went and did it with Josh Mandel up in Ohio.
He was trumping for him because he was like, oh, you know, these people. And he's like, Josh Mandel is the real, right? It was for Josh Mandel. Josh Mandel is the real Trump candidate.
Even though Trump endorsed his cousin, JD Mandel, not actually JD. It's weird. Yeah. Here's another clip of Ted Cruz sycophanting for Mo Brooks here. It's only 28 seconds. Let's watch this.
The reason I'm here is because I've seen this man stand and fight.
He's talking about Mo Brooks, stand and fight, the guy with the flak jacket on at January 6th.
So this means this video would make me feel that Ted Cruz is now against Donald Trump because he's supporting someone that Donald Trump is against,
but Mo Brooks. But Gabe, he stood and fought with his flak jacket on for Donald Trump.
Right, but Donald Trump was like... Mo Brooks, never heard of him. Hope that guy fucking loses his race.
Which it appears that Mo Brooks is actually going to win here, which I actually think that's what Ted Cruz is doing, right? What Ted Cruz is doing is he's going around to all these Trump sycophants who aren't endorsed by Trump, and he's going and he's stumping for them. Because as soon as one of them wins, which it looks like Mo Brooks may win here in Alabama, right? Mm-hmm. So if Mo Brooks wins, what Ted Cruz now gets is, I'm better than Trump, right? Like,
right.
I win more races than Trump, and he only has to win one.
Well, he's like it's the Ted Cruz touch, you know?
Right? Exactly. The Ted Cruz touch. Yeah. Ooh.
The Ted Cruz touch.
Yeah. Well, that's worse than having to sit on a plane with him on the way to Cancun. Let's listen to Ted Cruz.
Talk's cheap, but listen, if you say you support the Second Amendment, great. When have you stood and fought and bled to defend the Second Amendment?
Who is he talking about here that's stood and fought and bled for the Second Amendment?
I mean, it seems a little weird considering the fact that people like Mo Brooks said, hey, you shouldn't do this. This whole insurrection may not be a good idea, even though I'm going to speak at the rally. And then afterward, I'm going to talk about how I told Trump he couldn't overturn the election. Right.
It
seems like he's feeding into the people that wanted to show up or support the people that stormed the Capitol and smeared shit on the walls.
Mm-hmm. He is doing that. He definitely is for smearing shit somewhere.
Ted Cruz.
You say you support securing the border. Great. Show me your record of when you stood and fought and bled to secure the border.
What the fuck is he talking about? stood and fought and bled. Does he think these people actually believe that Ted Cruz went down to the border with this fucking Dunlap hanging over his belt, pointing right across the fence, acting like he's bled?
It honestly makes me think that Ted Cruz shit. Is like, he's like, listen, I need my militia men. I need them down to the border, and I need them defending the border from any sort of invader, right? Like, who is he talking to? What border? The Canadian border? The Mexican border?
Well, he knows more about the Canadian border than he knows about the Texas border, Mexican border.
Yeah.
Because he's from Canada. Look,
he's crossed borders. He has crossed both borders.
Not that there's anything wrong with being from Canada.
Yeah, no, nothing wrong. Yeah. Great bacon. Awesome.
Right.
But what I will say
really is that, honestly, they're inviting people to come, you know, actually have liberty there.
Like, if you guys need to leave.
Right.
Come on up. We got healthcare here, and we've got other benefits that are going on.
You can make your own choices in healthcare if you're a woman. That's right.
Exactly. I mean, very much like Handmaid's Tale, Canada is the actual land in which you are free from the tyranny of America. But I don't know who Ted Cruz is talking to. If he's calling on, you know, people to defend their Second Amendment right and go down and man the border themselves. And actually, you know, commit crimes in the name of Jesus, of course.
Well, of course. Why the hell wouldn't it be in the name of Jesus?
Right.
How couldn't we have something in the name of Jesus? There's a Guardian article. Midas Robin sent it to me. People are talking about it in the chat here about, have you heard this SCOTUS decision where they're, and I don't know the legal term, but maybe we should have KFA or Popoc on to give us more deep depth into this. But apparently they are trying to make it to where there is no appeals process for wrongful convictions in a state court. So before, if you watch like Making a Murderer, if you watch that documentary series on Netflix, which is a kind of, salacious in some points, but there's one part about the main character's nephew, who's also in prison for murder.
Right. Yeah.
And his name is escaping my mind right now, but that he actually has tried to use the federal courts in an appeal way to appeal the state decision of putting him up for capital murder for a wrongful conviction, which seems to be, you know, all bullshit.
Well, I mean, if you watch a documentary and then you would look at the interrogation, right? Minor, coerced into saying something.
Right.
Right. He was not of the right mind, you know.
And not really proven to not be an intelligent child as well.
Right, right. And this is actually a huge problem. A massive problem when it comes to the tactics and protocol, especially cops back then. Cops still do it today.
With people of color, marginalized communities.
I mean, the Central Park Five is another example of them not doing things legally to get quote unquote confessions, and then use that as evidence to convict these five innocent children. Right.
Well, basically, what the Supreme Court is doing here is taking away the ability. And from what I understand, there was not really a case involved in this. This had something else to do. And these bought and paid for Federalist Society fascists that we have on the court, they just decided, well, we're not going to let people who are wrongfully convicted appeal to the federal government to overturn what may seem to be wrongful convictions by the state of which they're imprisoned in and which they're incarcerated, which it seems to be, Gabe, that they're trying, which we know in this country, people of color and marginalized communities are charged with more capital crimes and probably wrongful convictions than any other community out there. And it really does seem to be another chipping away at America's rights, America's liberty. I'm not saying that we should let people who have committed heinous, violent crimes out in the streets. But we should give them the appeal process, regardless of what you believe or if they did it or they didn't do it. Those people should have an appeals process in this country.
Yeah.
They should have the ability to go through the courts and seek refuge in our court system if there is evidence that an appeals court believes that they are wrongfully convicted. We definitely should do that. You should have the right to do that all the way up until the very last day of your sentence or the day that you die. You should definitely have that right to appeal. I actually don't think if we're going to keep people in prison for a really long time, I don't think we should even stop. You know, at some point, people's appeals run out. I don't think we should run out. You should be able to keep appealing. That's just the way it should be. If we're going to be so hell-bent on keeping people in prison and imprisoning people, especially nonviolent criminals, the way that we do, especially with drugs, we really need to do something about in this country about our criminal justice system and the court system. And this goes a step in the wrong direction, which is not surprising from this fascist bought and paid for federal society court. Right. It's not surprising that they would make this decision. So maybe I'll try to see if we can, if the audience wants, we can try to see if we can get Popak or KFA, Karen Ignifilo from Legal AF on to give us a little more rundown of what this actually means legally. Right. Because there's a couple of legal terms in here that I'm really not sure exactly what they mean. But it really does seem like this stripping of this appeal from people who may be wrongfully convicted, it really does seem unconstitutional. It really does seem to be against American values and what we think of as American values.
Before we go, I do want to bring something up that people are talking about in the chat. There's an active shooter right now Texas at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Uvalde, Texas.
Do you have a link to something?
Yeah.
That I can pull up.
I can send you this right now.
So you're saying it's in Texas and an elementary school?
Yeah, it is west of San Antonio, a little bit southwest of San Antonio.
Jesus Christ. So I have a daughter who is in second grade, and today is their field day. And I always hate, you know, it's a fun day. It's their last week of school. They're going to have fun today. Mm-hmm. I always hate, and I hate that I have to have this feeling that my children are not safe at a school. And here is more, just more of this nonsense that we have to put up in this country. And it is that we put up with it because we could do something about this. Here's the headline. What is this? BNO News. Is that a local news station down there in Texas?
I believe so.
So it looks like it is active shooter at Robb Elementary is what they're reporting. Do they have someone in custody or?
Right now, I'm not seeing that. It says the rest of the district is under a secure status. Details about what happened were not immediately clear, but Mayor Don McLaughlin told Fox News that at least one person was shot, after which a shooter ran into the school. The situation is ongoing, and the shooter is barricaded inside. Several people in the area reported hearing gunfire, but it's unclear whether any shots were fired inside the school itself. A large number of emergency services have been called to the scene while officers work to secure the scene.
It's saying here that the active shooter at Robb Elementary, there is one and law enforcement is on site is what the school district is confirming here in this report.
And to answer your question, BNO News, is not local. There are other ones as well as I can pull up is KSAT.
I just wanted to see what.
Oh, yeah. There are more. Yeah, this is a global kind of news.
Let's see if we can look up Robb Elementary here and see if we can find what is going on.
Seems to be everyone is reporting. We got New York Post reporting on it now. And, you know, the actual school district has tweeted out there's an active shooter at Robb Elementary. Law enforcement is on site. Your cooperation is needed at this time by not visiting the campus. As soon as more information is gathered, it will be shared. The rest of the district is under a secure status.
2 minutes ago, someone at AP is reporting that there are no immediate reports of injuries is what it's saying. So it sounds like someone maybe fired a gun, but at this point from the AP report that was put out just a few minutes ago, there's no immediate reports of injuries. Let's see if we can find something else here. And again, this is an ongoing story. So we try to bring you stories like this as they happen if we can. Mm-hmm. We are not a news organization, but we do comment on the news.
Right.
And let me tell you something. This is our own problem. This is our problem as a country. And if you don't think this is more of a reason to pay attention to who you're voting for and why you're voting for those people, and I'm not just talking about president or governor or your congressperson, I'm talking about all the way down to your school board. Now, how they react to this, what their views are on this. Mm-hmm. This stuff is very important. Our children are not safe in this country, even at the most safe, what we think of is the safest place that they can be is an elementary school. And that hasn't been proven to you over the years, then you are not paying attention. You are not what we call woke. And right. you really need to pluck your head out of your ass and realize that this is an American problem. This is our problem as the citizens to solve. NRA isn't going to help us. The fucking politicians aren't going to help us. They're not. These current policymakers that we have are not. And so we need to change the paradigm here, and we need mm-hmm. to shift the paradigm to people who will help us fix this problem. And government isn't the solution for everything. It's not. But we see with the Buffalo MAGA King mass shooter, in that instance, he was under psych evaluation after threatening a school shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And he still was able to legally buy 3 weapons after he was under mental psych evaluation after threatening to shoot and kill people at his school. This is not something that we can't do anything about. We are not doing anything about it. That is the problem. We are standing by and letting the gun manufacturers and the people who profit off weapons in this country absolutely fucking spread delusion about what is reality and what is not. And it is killing our children and putting them in fucking danger. And not just our children, adults too. But right. how in the fuck after Newtown? After babies are being fucking murdered, that we can't figure out that, hey, maybe just maybe we shouldn't let elementary schools have bullets flying around where little children are being executed.
Mm-hmm.
We probably shouldn't do that. And how we can't come to terms with that and realize that we are the ones who can do something, and you can. You can today. If you're in these states, there are people on the ballot who right now are for pro-democracy and for democracy to tell the rest of the country and the majority of ideology in this country who want background checks, who do not want some of these weapons on the street, who do not want some of these modifications that they're manufacturing for these weapons. There are people out there that want those policies, and you can do something about it. You can, by using your voice at the ballot box. That mm-hmm. is the most important thing, because let me tell you something, Gabe. These 2A fools, these trumped up white dudes who believe, oh, we should own tanks and rockets and bombs and all this shit. These insurrectionists, these seditionists, these fascists. If you don't go vote, they're going to, and they're going to vote for the ones that are making sure that these weapons are available for, mm-hmm. for people to go to elementary schools like this one in Texas and to shoot and kill other human beings. And if you're not paying attention, we are in trouble. You have to start paying attention to these issues. It is
the most important thing to remember here is that these people on the local level, they will trickle up,
right?
These people who are obviously anti-democracy and pro-fascism and taking away your rights here and marrying kids there and banning books here. These people start at low levels.
They're going to be your county commissioners,
and they're going to trickle up to higher positions. And those people that made those laws or made those policies on a local level that impacts you and your district and the school, or impacts your county where you live or wherever it is, those people will begin to rise up. And those people will make those similar laws, if not more extreme laws, that are more controlling to a larger population. And the only way to fight that is to stop it early. And the only way we can stop it early is to show up and vote.
Now, there is a couple of conflicting reports. I want to reiterate that we are only getting news as it comes in. It appears some news outlets are reporting that one person was shot, but some news outlets are saying that no one was injured, which if someone was shot and actually struck by a bullet, then they probably would be injured, I would imagine. So there is some conflicting reports. So pay attention. We'll probably stay on this story and make sure we send out some tweets for our listeners later on. So make sure to follow us on all the social media platforms at Tony Michaels Pod. Follow us on YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. We will be back here tomorrow, as we are every weekday, Monday through Friday, noon Eastern, 11 Central, 9 Pacific on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. Make sure to follow us there. Also, we simulcast on Midas Touch Facebook page. Gabe, we didn't get to it today. We'll have to get to it tomorrow. We really need to work on this schedule. Me and Gabe will work on the hearing schedule.
Yeah, yeah.
These public hearings, we kind of have sort of
a preliminary schedule. Well, we thought it was supposed to be Benny Thompson. Said it was originally supposed to be 8, and now it's 6. And, you know, it's not the best of times, but.
Well, and I think maybe some of these will be more pointed in that direction. I don't know. Yeah, so, yeah.
And we also don't know the length of time in which they're going to be. So,
well, they kind of estimated that they'd be a few hours, but in four in the morning, some are in the afternoon in prime time.
It's going to be very early for me.
Yes. Yeah.
8 a.m., so which is 5 a.m. over here.
Yeah.
Assuming they go East Coast time.
You'll soda stream through it.
There's his
carbonated water, his carb water.
Actually, this is just tap water today. I'm sorry, guys. Let you down. Didn't stream while streaming.
Whoa.
I know.
You are not on your game today. This is ridiculous. Although I didn't even notice, notice that you weren't.
You know what? But I had to be true to myself and let everyone else know.
Authentic. Yeah. Non-soda streaming.
Authentic.
Today.
Yeah.
Well, until tomorrow, our authenticity will have to wait until then, Gabe, till noon Eastern, 11 Central, 9 Pacific, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. Keep out for some news on this breaking active shooter in Texas. We will try to keep up with that on our accounts over on the socials. Until tomorrow, surf's up, motherfuckers.
You've been listening to the Tony Michaels Podcast. In your face commentary of current events and political news. No rules, no boundaries. I think we've made that perfectly clear. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back soon. In the meantime, follow Tony on social media at The Tony Michaels. And until next time, raise a fist and repeat after me. Fuck 'em.
Meal Barn, head ass speaking.